Thank you for joining us for this chapel message from the campus of Columbia International University in Columbia, South Carolina. Our mission at CIU is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, we are here for round two today. And on my right, please make some noise for Mr. William Brown. Mr. Brown is a CIU grad. For all the CIU fans out there, he has served for 25 years in Tunisia, in all of North Africa, and in France. Basically a legend. And
legendary.
And he's now currently the pastor of the Reformed Church in Tunis. On my left, ladies and gentlemen, please make some noise for Dr. Victor Cortez. Dr. Cortez has been at CIU for 4 years. He just recently got his PhD. Congratulations. And Dr. Cortez had told me something right before chapel, and this is apparently something really important for him. And this is his siesta policy. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Could you just briefly tell me your vision for CIU right now with the siesta policy?
I went to bed last night, and I have a vision and dream. I saw this place full of hammocks everywhere. I saw deans, faculty, students, staff taking a nap on those hammocks. So
let's make this dream a reality. All right, without further ado, Dr. Victor Cortez and Mr. Brown.
Are we at the end already? Good. So, mission is planting the church.
The church, that's right.
And I don't know about you, but one of the challenges that we have in our days, every time that we talk about church planting, is we think, many of you will think, we have enough churches, right? I just drove this morning from my home to here, and William, I saw a lot of churches.
How many?
I counted probably 7 or 8, there is only one traffic light from my home to here. And I am glad that I didn't follow my dean's advice to live in Lexington or Irmo area. And God opened the doors for us to live in Blywood. Okay, so no traffic, no rustle with the 2620. How many of you are excited about that? Yes? So I see horses and cows. That's the only thing that I see when I am driving from home to here. But it is hard for us to imagine that even today in 21st century, there is still a need for more churches. Mm-hmm. And he is the one, God is the one who loves his creation. He is the one who originates this process. When we talk about church planting, we think in our own efforts, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. All the things that we need to do to push this thing called church planting. But we are reminded today that it is not our job. It is not our work. How many of you are grateful that it is the work of God? Mm. And it's the work of the Holy Spirit. Mm. And you and I, William, we just play a little part in the process. And I believe that God is going to raise up, actually, church planters from this place. Some of you are getting excited and passionate about church planting in different contexts. And from the beginning in the scriptures, we see that he's the one. Mm. Jesus is the cornerstone. He loves his church. He is the creator. He is, and the Holy Spirit is the agent of empowering. So when we talk about the church, we are talking about the church of Jesus Christ. For those who love original languages, Greek, ecclesia, iglesia in Spanish. The ones who have been called out to go and make the difference. We are part of this amazing church of God with capital C. And we are invited by God to be part of that process. I love agriculture. That's my background before I started to focus on missions. And I grew up, I always remember growing up in Colombia in a small town, 40 minutes from our city, from Cali. And my grandmother used to have a farm. And I always remember the times for the harvest. Those were the most exciting times for us. When we saw the bananas, when we saw tropical fruits ready to be eaten by us, a bunch of kids. So it is God's work in that process. And I just want to share some kind of, and I know William is going to be adding more ingredients, but when we talk about the mission of God is planting the church, we need to start right there focusing on the main thing. And what is the main thing of church planting? To make
disciples.
Disciples. That's right. We have been commissioned, and we have been already sent out, and we are sent out every single day, William, right?
I hope so.
I hope we are not still waiting to be sent out, but we already have been sent out locally and globally to make disciples. And this is the most amazing thing. At the end of the scripture says that there is a powerful promise for us, that God will be with us. Only the weekends. Only Fridays, right?
Friday and Saturday.
No. Every single day, we are reminded in Matthew 28 that He will be with us. Every time, every moment that you and I will go out, He is with us. So it is important for us to emphasize the importance of prayer. And I am concerned, William, these days, we are very much focused on strategies and methods. In our culture in the U.S., we love formulas. And we want the 1, 2, 3 steps. I have bad news for us this morning. There are no formulas for planting the church.
Let me ask you. I'm interrupting.
Absolutely.
I want to interrupt you. So in Colombia, where you were, what did this look like in terms of, you talk about prayer, talk about strategy. What did that look like?
This was talking about late 80s and beginning of the 90s, William, where the enemy literally tried to destroy our country. That was the plan of the enemy, to erase Colombia from the map.
Okay.
We have an evil network. You can imagine, for one hand, the narco traffic, drugs. On the other hand, the guerrillas, the left people trying to rebel against the country. And it was a demonic network. The Lord leaders, the drug cartel trying to take control of the nation. It was a time that 40-50% of Colombian territory was controlled by either Pablo Escobar or the Ochoas from Cali.
So what was the church like in that setting?
In the middle of the most difficult time, prayer and intercession was something that it was an amazing time for us. We didn't have a way to go. It was not optional. So the first thing that God led us as a church, and we are talking church with capital C, right? Different denominations coming together. And the first thing that God impressed in our hearts, let's gather in the biggest soccer stadium in the city. So we thought, you know, the capacity for that stadium was probably 40, 50,000. How many of you like soccer? Raise your hand. Okay. So I am still recovering. That's why I'm sitting here, because I'm still recovering from my game on Monday with the boys. So God surprised us, William. We were expecting 2,000, 3,000 people maybe. The first night, that Friday night, the stadium was totally packed.
Wow.
The officials had to call the police because there were people lining up outside of the stadium.
And what was the agenda for the meeting?
Praying and interceding for the city and for the country. Okay. And in the middle of that, God started to move through prayer, intercession, salvation. A lot of people got saved, including drug cartel leaders. Oh. People from the government, famous soccer players, were shaped by the gospel, and healings, power encounters. People started to get healed in the middle of the praising and worshiping. And so when you combine worship, intercession, and prayer, something happened, right? So God started to move, William, in an amazing way. So prayer is something that it needs to be moved up to the list, not to be at the bottom. Yeah. It, you know, because even talking about David Garrison's research, number one commonality among the church planting
was
in
prayer.
Was prayer.
That's right. That's right.
So
I didn't mean to interrupt your.
No.
Yes. Okay.
I love that. We are following Cashin and Trevor's.
Yeah,
that was
that's hard to follow.
And it's very hard to follow.
Very hard to follow. Hopefully they will be gracious to us.
And as you can say amen today, William. We need the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our midst.
So you're talking to two people that are very different theologically, maybe different theologically. It's very hard for Dr. Cortez to sit down and talk because he's more Pentecostal background.
I'm ready to run.
Fortunately, you played soccer the other evening and you have to rest.
Yeah, that's why I'm remaining. Yeah. This is as far as a Pentecostal can go.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. But I think that even in talking with my wife yesterday, we talked about this idea of prayer. I don't think that me personally, you know, I don't put enough emphasis in that because I've been involved in maybe five different church plants and they didn't really go the way we planned them. And sometimes they were just sort of birthed and it really had no sort of strategy. I have another question for you.
Sure.
Okay, so after this prayer meeting, this big prayer meeting, you had different churches, different denominations that are working together. What came out after that, after prayer? Surely you have to be able to work together.
Sure. Oh yes.
Right?
Definitely.
People are coming to Christ. What's the connection? Why couldn't they just come to the other churches? Why do you need to plant more churches in Colombia?
Well, at that time, the gospel was considered, William, only for the poor.
Okay.
So most of the people, you know, went to church, the Latin, you know, hearing they went to the mass and it was conducted in Latin. So there was not really a focus on the scriptures pretty much.
Right.
So in the middle of that process, it was a lot of lack of unity. It was jealousy. I know that thing happened here.
No, never.
Not even in North Africa.
Never.
Only in Latin America,
yeah.
Those kind of things. But there were a lot of fighting between pastors and churches and denominations. And because of this, and it was hard. A lot of pastors were killed, kidnapped. So throughout the crying and throughout the pain, we start to come together. Mm-hmm. So instead of focusing on our own denomination, we started to, God got our attention. And we started to see the city in a different way. More missional in terms of reaching out different kind of people. And I cannot say to you, we're learning the process, William. Mm-hmm. It was not something that we say, okay, we're going to pray. We're going to have a lot of unity, and worship is going to be central in everything. No, those were hard lessons that we learned throughout the process of persecution and kidnappings. But one next day that we have this first gathering, interdenominational gathering in our city, the front lines in the newspaper reported for the first time there were not people dying because of violence. So the rates of kidnapping went down, for example. So when we talk about revival, we think that this is, you know, nice time for us to worship and have a great time, but actually revival needs to go and hit the community.
That's right.
Right? Yeah. It needs to bring transformation. Yeah. So those were one of the things that we experienced, William. More intentionality about spending time with other people from different denominations, praying together, having common ground in terms of reaching out the lost in different capacities.
Okay. And then how were other churches started? I know that seems evident, but...
Every empty spot in our city became actually a house church.
Okay.
Think about home theaters. At that time, the biggest denominations, Assemblies of God, CMA, Baptist, they have probably 300 people. One service every Sunday. Because of the revival that we experienced at this time, there were 4, 5, 6 services. Churches are starting to have services at 6 a.m., William. Yeah. 6, 8, 10, 4, 6, 8 p.m. So there were not enough locations. So every storage place that was empty became a church. Wow. Movie theaters became to be a place for worship. House churches. The main focus was on houses. So we started to focus, the city basically became this huge house church.
Wow.
Where people gathered in different neighborhoods.
Wow.
And that was a great opportunity it was messy. You can imagine, you know, new believers starting to exercise the gifts and starting to serve in the church. It took a lot of patience, including people with me, you know, because I was 18, 19 years old at that time. So I was also growing in the Lord after being a cultural Catholic and experiencing salvation myself in that time.
How did you get a heart for church planting?
Oh, boy. As you know, Colombia is a very diverse country. We have 6, 7 different regions. We have a little bit of everything ethnically. And 30-35% of Colombian territory, we have African descendants. So I was very involved I was a drug dealer, as my Dean Smither say.
Yeah.
I was very involved with pharmaceutical companies.
Okay.
just for you to be, okay. So it was a paradigm shift from becoming an agricultural engineering sales rep with pharmaceutical companies. And that was the excuse, William, that God used in my life. I thought what I am doing as an engineer, doing, you know, sales rep stuff, that was the excuse. I ended up doing medical mission trips, gathering nurses, doctors,
and going to different parts,
regions, poor places where we have a lot of needs. Indigenous, we have a lot of indigenous people in our country, so that was the beginning. And actually, before that, my high school was with Jesuits, so my first exposure to missions was actually with Jesuits in high school.
Wow!
Tell me about you.
Well. Yes, I'm looking at the clock up there, and I'm looking at, is there going to be a time of questions, or 5 minutes of questions? So maybe...
But that's Latin American time, so don't worry, we have 2 hours to talk and drink coffee
I know,
so.
But I saw you coming to chapel yesterday 20 minutes early, and I couldn't...
That was my American hat, William.
Okay.
I am with my Colombian hat today.
I think one of the things, as we were talking before, was, and if you have questions, you could probably start coming up to the front, because we don't have a lot of time for questions.
But lunch, are you going to be available
for
lunch?
I'll be at lunch at 1 o'clock.
I'm going to be available for lunch at noon. Yeah. Where is Joe Letexier? Are you here? Raise your hand if you're here. Are you available? We can have lunch, and if you want to practice Spanish, if you love Latin American countries, you feel called to that, have lunch with us. We're going to practice, and we're going to have lunch in Spanish today.
So whoever has questions can start making their way up here. One interesting thing that's come up with when you talk about church planting is, and it took me a long time to realize this, is God is always working.
Always.
He's always working. Mm-hmm. You show up, sometimes missionaries show up and they think they're the first ones to, you know, that they're God's gift to that people.
And we are, right?
And we are.
Yeah,
well,
absolutely.
But it's not the case. God has already been working there before. Mm-hmm. So a couple years ago, I was coming down. So I live in Tunisia, North Africa. And the language
is Arab. That's close to China, right?
It's close to China, okay, yeah. It's good. Not Indonesia and it's not Tanzania, but Tunisia, the northernmost country in Africa. Mm-hmm. So I was coming down one time and I met this guy that I had known for a long time. He had a bandage around his thumb.
Okay.
And he said, I was joking with him, his name was Hussam. I said, so Hussam, what happened? He said, I fell. And I was joking a little bit more because even though it's a Muslim country, they drink a lot of alcohol in Tunisia. And I said, oh, so you probably
drink. We don't do that in Colombia.
No, I'm sure.
Never.
And I said to him, I said, it's non-alcoholic, okay. Non-alcoholic beer, non-alcoholic, yes. Yeah. And so I asked this friend of mine, Hussam, I said, did you fall? Have you been drinking too much? And he fell, you know, I thought he fell. And he said, no, he said, I don't drink. Okay. He said, but I know you're a Christian. Do Christians drink? What would you say? He said, yeah, that's a tough question.
It's a tough question.
Yes. So, like a normal, like other people do, they ignore the question.
Sure.
And so I ignored the question and I said, well, I said, one of the disciples of Jesus, Paul, he wrote this letter, and in the letter, so I opened my Bible to Galatians and I said, the works of the flesh are, and one of the works of the flesh is drunkenness. So I said, if someone doesn't have the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God is not working in his life, he's working with his flesh, one of the results is drunkenness. And so he said, well, what is this? And I said, it's the New Testament. He said, do you think you could get me one? And I said, well, maybe. And so I went and got an Arabic Bible and a Arabic French New Testament and an Arabic New Testament. And I said, here's your choice. And this is this much money. And I said, I wasn't going to give it to him for free. And he said, I'll buy all of them. And I said, you just buy one of them and you just buy the Arabic Bible. You have the whole Bible. He said, no, I'll buy all of them. So he bought all of them. He works at a gas station. Two and a half weeks later, he was at the gas station.
I need
station.
To move a little bit.
Yeah, so you need to move a little.
Two and a half weeks later,
he was at, I saw him again. And he asked me, he said, what do I do now that I've read the book? And I said, what do you mean? He said, I finished reading the Bible. Do you have anything else that I could read?
Okay.
And I said, you mean you read the New Testament? He said, no, I read the whole Bible. I said, there's no way you could have done that because you work full time. He said, no. He said, I almost lost my job. I would go home at 7 o'clock. I would read from 7 to 2 or 2:30 in the morning every day. And so he started from Genesis and read it all the way through in 2 weeks. And so he wanted to know more. What I didn't know was God had already been working in his life, you know? Mm-hmm. And so if you go into mission is also understanding that God has already been there. He's already working. And you don't know where you are in the stage of that person's life.
So I think this is a good time. We have like 20 minutes more.
We have 40 minutes for
40
questions.
40 minutes more for questions. So
we have 45 seconds.
What do you think about our urgent need for partnership and networking?
I think we have to, sort of what you said, we cannot plant the church alone. No denomination, no church. Mm-hmm. We need to work together. And anyway, so I'll let you have the closing word.
Well, this is my closing, and it was hard for me. And in another time, maybe lunch, we can talk about different experiences that we had. One of the most remarkable things, I have the privilege to go to Cuba every year, William.
Okay.
God is doing amazing things in Cuba. Mm. I cannot wait. They are really Cubans. And you can imagine what the Lord is going to do with this army of believers. Yeah. They are ready to live with almost anything. Yeah. And they are so passionate. They are so hungry.
Yeah.
and ready to go to share the gospel in different places.
In where I am in North Africa, sorry, this is another little thing, a Cuban pastor came to North Africa and he said, we have 200 Cubans from our church that want to go to North Africa.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, so here's the thing. Sometimes when we think about praying that God would raise up workers, that God would raise up missionaries, what we normally think of is people that look like us, that are like us. But God is, he's raising up sub-Saharan Africans. He's raising up Cubans. He's raising up, I work on
South
a team
Koreans
with Brazilians, even Brazilians. Yes. Can you believe that?
Even Brazilians.
We don't have Brazilians. We don't have any Brazilians here. There, yeah. So and we need the entire body of Christ.
And it's going to take, William, men and women working together.
Yeah.
Different generations.
Different
we have a lot to learn from you guys. Yeah. This is your moment. Come on. Right? A lot of things that we need, we can learn from these new generations. But we need all the generations coming together.
Yeah.
And we need different denominations, William. Working
I'm
going
to ask Josiah to come up and give an invitation. And close this out. Sorry.
Thank you so much. Again, if you guys have some questions, they're always available, and they'd love to talk and answer all of those questions that you might have.
Talk and talk, okay. William.
You could even go on a run or play some soccer. They'd love that as well. All right, I invite you all to stand up, and let's pray together. Lord Jesus, the fields are ripe.
Yes, God.
Lord, you know the hearts of every people on this nation, Lord, and you know who is ready. Lord, I pray that you may just send people, Lord. Raise, especially at CIU, Lord, raise some church planters. Raise some people bold enough to go where there is no church, Lord, to proclaim your word. Lord, I pray as well for those who are doing that right now, those who are church planters in maybe like the worst parts of the world, Lord, who are being persecuted right now. And so, God, I pray that you may just strengthen them, give them hope. Show them that you are the one building the church. And Lord, that you can do great things through their weakness because you are strong. And so Lord, I pray this as a blessing over CIU. I pray that you may raise church planters. And Lord, that CIU may be known for spreading the word and for making the church grow. Mm-hmm. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You are dismissed.
We hope you found this message a blessing to your life. More Columbia International University Chapel messages are available at iTunes and at podcast.ciu.edu. Learn more about CIU's undergraduate, seminary, and graduate programs at our website, ciu.edu. Columbia International University educates people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for the opportunity to minister to you today.